God is with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The most common injury of paratroopers during World War II is on the surface exactly what you would expect. Broken bones. Usually broken legs. Now, what's surprising isn't the injury itself, it's how they got the injury. See, Army-issue parachutes, they're pretty trustworthy. The initial landings of paratroopers almost always went according to plan. The problem, though, is that a lot of times they didn't land on the ground. They'd land on rooftops or treetops, whatever was between them and the ground. And after they would land, something fascinating would happen. Over and over again, these soldiers who had survived falling thousands of feet with nary a scratch would just jump down from rooftops or treetops to the ground below. They would step off a roof like you or I would step off of a curb. That's too great a distance to make it on your own, and it's too short a distance for the parachute to be any help. And that's when they would break their leg. It's almost like after jumping out of an airplane, the distance from a rooftop to the ground seemed like nothing. Maybe it's that having come so far, the soldiers forgot for a moment that they couldn't actually fly. Then the impact would remind them of what was what. I often feel a kind of jarring impact on the first week of Advent. Our culture doesn't really help with that. We start celebrating Christmas around Halloween. We're all the way at the manger scene in the Herald of Angels by the beginning of November, so what do you mean Advent? What do you mean waiting around in the dark? So I always find myself shaken up by the lectionary passage on the first week in Advent. There's a few different ones, but they're all somewhat more foreboding than I want or expect them to be. Because from my little rooftop, I forget that Advent isn't just a countdown to Christmas and presents and parties and caroling. I want to jump straight into the joy part of the season. Advent, though, is a reminder to us that there are still a few things we're waiting for. That just like the people waiting for a Messiah thousands of years ago, we are waiting for all the things that we hope for to be realized. And even when that hope feels foolish or misplaced, even when nothing looked like it's going the way we want it to go or the way God promised it would go, we hold on anyway. Through the coldest, darkest, windiest nights, we hold on to hope. And in the most unexpected times and places and ways, God fulfills those hopes. So I guess as people who are in our own ways waiting to see Jesus, it makes sense that we would kick off the season with a prophecy about the end. You know, the big end, culmination of all things, the apocalypse, ushering in of the new heaven and the new earth, you know, that end. And at first, you know, it sounds pretty scary, right? Natural disaster type stuff, world governments in turmoil, but it's that stuff, the chaos and confusion, that Jesus compares to a fig tree in bloom. Which seems crazy because when you see the fig tree in bloom, and you know summer is here and everybody loves summer. Except my husband, who was born almost entirely devoid of melanin. But summer, that's pretty much universal shorthand for the good times. Food is plentiful, the planting is done, and the really hard work of harvesting and preparation for winter is still a few months away. Summer's where it's at. So wait a second. Jesus is telling us that someday when things look their worst, that's when we should hope the hardest. Because it could mean that summer is around the corner. Summer being part we've all been waiting for. An awful end followed by a wonderful beginning, a new kingdom where justice and peace this promise. The more time that passes and the more awful things that happen without being immediately followed by the end of the world, the more tempted we'll be to despair, to cope poorly with our fear and anxiety, to abandon hope, or because hope unfulfilled is a heavy burden, to ease it by allowing ourselves to think that this is all just a silly superstition, that Jesus must have meant something, anything else. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that I think a lot of what's out in our pop culture about the end of the world is silly. There are entire book and film franchises built on a really bad interpretation of one verse in one of Paul's letters. There are those who reinterpret the book of Revelation like an action film, stripping from it all of its context, all of its poetry, and all of its intended message. Not about the end of the world, but about the very specific end of the Roman Empire. The silliest thing, though, is how anybody actually thinks they know anything about how the future is actually going to shake out. Jesus himself said he didn't know. He didn't know the whens or the hows. But what, Timmy with the book deal thinks he's got it all figured out? So no, I'm not here to give you specifics. I don't have a top 10 list of signs to look for to know Jesus is coming back. Those do exist. They're a fun read, but I don't recommend you gather any truth from them. No, all I know is what Jesus told us. And that's that someday things will be different. Someday all the things you wish were true but don't know how to make happen are gonna happen. Because power will be in the right, benevolent, all-knowing, all-loving hands. That there is a new earth coming, a new heaven, and that the old way of doing things, the painful way and the selfish and greedy way, and the lonely way, the scary way, the uncertain way will pass away. That's what we hope for. Not some bloody battle where all of Jesus' favorite people come out on top. Not to be raptured so that we can avoid all the pain and get all the reward. We hope for what mankind has always hoped for. For figs in the summer. For God on the throne, for forgiveness and justice, for peace and freedom. God is telling a very long story with us. As we move towards Christmas, towards the birth of the king we've been asking for since Saul took the throne but haven't quite found, don't forget that we are in many ways waiting for the same thing they were. Our waiting, though, is a little different. We don't have to wait around in the dark. We have been clued in on how the story ends. We don't need to wait in fear and uncertainty. We wait impatiently, sure. But that's just because we know the ending is the best part. Advent is a circle. Beginning joins hands with hoped for ending. They waited and we wait. And in the meantime, the story God is telling us about the King of Kings who learned to walk on the poor, dusty streets of Judea is told all over again. I invite you to join in our hymn of response. It's found